Dunkin' Cold Coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' Cold K-Cup Pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
The legend of Cayman Jack is just around the corner. With blue agave nectar, real lime juice, and cane sugar, discover legendary taste with America's number one margarita. Premium flavored malt beverage. Please drink responsibly. All registered trademarks used under license by American Vintage Beverage Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls, one ginger. It's us, your friends. We're back.
Hello.
Yet again. Another week of Killing Time.
Another day, another dollar.
Another day, another dollar.
Another day, another dollar.
How are we doing?
I'm feeling spicy.
Oh.
I feel spicy, too. I've got this this seltzer that Lex just gave me.
I didn't even know we had these. I'm like, I want more champagne. We didn't have that, but we did have Bud Light seltzer. Sangria Splash.
Red
not sponsored.
No, Red Honor, Sangria
not,
style.
Or is it?
They used to be a sponsor.
They used to be a sponsor.
I don't think they're a current
they're
sponsor.
Honestly not bad. They're pretty good.
Does not contain wine.
Let me try it.
I like it.
I mean, if they want to come back on, they can't. Oh my God, you've already drank like half of this.
I drink fast.
Interesting.
It's pretty good.
Pretty good. Anyways,
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Alexis is wearing some vintage First Degree merch.
Vintage merch. Sorry, you can't get it.
Can't get it. Unavailable.
Sorry, one of one.
And if you are watching us on Patreon, you see the outfits that we're wearing. And we love that you're seeing our beautiful faces.
I was just wearing a costume.
I've been wearing this white t-shirt for 3 weeks.
That's okay. You're pretty gross, Jared. He hasn't showered in this whole time.
He's a brute.
I'm just a heathen.
Alexis, tell them about our Patreon if they haven't joined.
Our Patreon's incredible. If you're like a true crime bestie, you get an extra episode per week. A fully researched, amazing, full-length true crime episode per week for extra per month. That math is incredible.
Unbelievable.
Then
mathematician
plus,
over here.
You get video of Killing Time. Then you also get, when we do two-parters, you get them both at the same time. There are a lot of perks, but I would say the extra episodes per month would be the selling point for me. Like the Patreons I belong to are for that reason.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just want you guys to know I'm a patron of our Patreon.
You don't pay.
That's how good it is.
I do.
You pay?
Yeah, it just adds to the numbers.
Yeah.
You
know? It's that good.
It comes off the business credit card.
That's true.
It's just like a regurgitation.
One extra little boost, one more subscriber.
And like it's our money, but we get it back.
Yeah, that's
just,
true.
I
maybe it's a good
like,
self-supporting.
I just want to see what it's like on the other side of it. And
yeah.
Just to be a fan.
Oh, it's like when you post an Instagram story and then you rewatch it as if you're like somebody else watching it.
And you try to be like, you don't know you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pretend you don't know who you are.
Yep.
What would you think of this person?
Why do we do that?
Because we're psychotic.
Or like rereading an email, like you're the recipient of the email.
Oh, God,
or
I do it all. Emails, like professional emails I do all the time. I'm like, wow, I really blew that email away.
Dude, yeah. I know. The pride that I take when I read it back, I'm like, oh, send.
I know. Send. I would be like, whatever the proposition is, sign me up.
Yeah. It is so funny. I think that is like a common human experience, especially with social media. It's so funny.
You spend time on an email too. If I spend time on an email and then sometimes I have Matt read it.
You do a little formatting.
I'm like, how do you think? I have Matt read it because he's really good at shit like that.
But like, I always have to go like in my sent folder and I open the email up as if I was receiving it. So it looks like it was sent to me.
And I try to frame myself about I'm the person adjacent to me.
You're like, wow, this person makes a lot of great points here.
They got the job. Hired.
Take all my money.
Dude, it's so weird. Why are we like this?
Because
you got to be a fan of yourself.
We're self-voyeuristic people.
It is self-voyeuristic. That's a very interesting term.
Yep. Anyways.
All right.
Patreon.
Well, the Patreon, please join us.
It's fun.
Yeah. We love being there.
This adventure we just went on in just a couple minutes.
I know.
That's true. Well, and the best part about Patreon is we're doing these true crime stories that are all listener submitted. So if you have a story about your, like, a hometown, or there's just something you've been fascinated with that, like, you haven't seen covered on a normal true crime podcast, like, that's what we're here for.
That's right.
We're here to do deep dives into the cases that you're interested in and give you a new perspective.
Send us them cases.
Send us them cases.
Send it.
Send it.
Send it.
All right. Well, today, should we get into the day today?
Yes, please.
Today is November 9th. We're getting into November.
It's almost fucking Christmas.
It's, I mean, it's really almost Thanksgiving, which is the best meal of the year, I'm already dreaming about, but I can't let myself have it until Thanksgiving. Like, you can't spoil it.
No, nobody's out there eating Thanksgiving dinners before Thanksgiving,
I think,
right?
Some people might. Like, sometimes people have, like, things like Friendsgiving potlucks where they have Thanksgiving
We've
items.
Done that.
Like, are there people...
I don't like doing that, though.
I do.
There's I don't like spoiling it.
There's people that just go to Boston Market.
Boston Market's pretty good.
On, like, a whim. And they're like, it's time for some turkey and some taters and some gravy.
I, like, I really...
So
I'm not. I know. I'm not,
but
one, like, of those people, but...
Well,
but
you know,
I could be.
I'm a plan- like, I'm a planner with my meals, and half of the joy that I get is thinking about it, like, beforehand. So I'm like, I can't spoil myself by having it before Thanksgiving.
No, the fantasy. It has to be
it's
just
fantasy.
Right.
Fantasy. Mm. I wonder. Meal fantasy.
Meal fantasy.
That's like half of what my thoughts are.
It is.
Are
literally today, we're on. We walked out to the car to come here today, and she goes, Jersey Mike's tonight. It's Mike's Monday. Well, it's Monday. Sorry to break the immersion, but we're recording this on a Monday.
Yeah.
And Jack goes, it's Jersey Mike's tonight. It's Mike's Monday.
Well, little do you know, I've been thinking about Mike's Monday for like 3 days. So yeah.
She's like, we should get
obsessed silently.
She goes, we should go to Starbucks and get like something small so that we're really hungry for Jersey Mike's later. Like, okay.
Wow.
Food Jack. Obsession. Food meal obsession.
Meal fantasy.
Meal fantasy.
There you go.
That's what it is. All right. Let's get into the day today.
Let's do it.
November 9th, 1837. The tallest couple in the world marries. Now, I'm sure a taller couple has married since then, but this is of the time it was the tallest couple. American Giant, 7 feet, 7.5 inches. They didn't give him a name, but his wife's name was Anna Swan. At 7 feet, she was taller than him?
How tall?
11 inches.
7'11"?
That seems wrong.
That's huge.
In 1837, that's like being 100 feet tall.
Holy shit.
No, I think a lot of the tall peeps like were in the circuses and stuff back then.
Yeah, I mean,
I can't believe the woman was taller than him. Maybe this is wrong, but yeah.
Seems right.
7'7.5" man, Anna Swan, 7'11", were the tallest married couple, and they were billed as the Giants of Seville.
Wow.
So I don't know if they're in the circus. I should have looked more into this, but that is so tall for almost 200 years ago. That's tall for now. That's huge.
I mean, the tallest person I know is Rita's brother. He's 6'9".
That's tall.
Fucking huge.
That's massive.
After 6'6", you're too tall.
There's no too tall. You're just tall. Too tall for what?
Well, tall to like to live really long lives.
Well, Rita listens to this, so may your brother live a long life. Rita's my best friend, and I don't think we need to put that out in the world. Pat is going to live a long life.
Well, I don't know. You were watching Love is Blind, right?
The guy goes, I'm not meant to live
Milton,
long.
His like biggest vulnerability was that he's not going to have a long life because he's 6'7". I'm like, that's actually not even that tall. Like, I don't know if...
Also, he's only like 20.
He's like 24, but I don't know if your life expectancy starts going down at that height, but I'd say like 7'11" is probably...
I think the bigger, the worse.
Yeah. No, it is. You're not meant
to... It's how big dogs don't live as long as small dogs.
Exactly. It's because your heart has to pump throughout that entire big body.
Mm, and the joints have a lot to carry.
This is why I'm saying, if you're out there and you're having a hard time on Tinder because you're a man and you're like 5'10", like...
You're living so long.
Dude, your body is meant to live long.
Look at the long term, baby.
And honestly... I love a 5'10 king.
That's right.
That's been my staple maybe my whole life.
It has.
I don't like tall guys.
It's funny. We always said that. I'm like, tall, the tall guys. I mean, you're tall, but hello?
Hey.
He's thinking about his death.
I'm like, don't say that I'm tall. Don't put it out there.
No, I'm short. 6'1" is short.
Just average. You're average.
I'm normal. Regular.
Anyways, okay, on to the next
subject.
Okay, 1874. The New York Herald. This is actually really funny because it has relevance to today. Okay, this is in 1874. The New York Herald publishes a front page story claiming that there has been a mass escape of animals from the Central Park Zoo and that 49 people have been slaughtered by the free roaming beasts and hundreds more have been injured. So they go on to explain this whole thing. A rhinoceros had trampled and gored its keeper to death, broke out of its cage and broke down the cages of other animals, allowing them to escape. The escaped animals included a polar bear, a panther, a lion, a jaguar, leopards, wolves, hyenas, a cheetah, a Cape buffalo, a dozen or more monkeys, and it even claimed a Bengal tiger had escaped and was shot on the street by the governor. So this whole crazy fucking story, right?
What a nightmare.
Literally Jumanji.
And also so fucking sad. Like, these animals never belong there in the first place.
No, you shouldn't be keeping them in a zoo. But anyways, near the end of the article was the notice. Of course, the entire story given above is a pure fabrication. Not one word of it is true. But many readers missed the notice and there was widespread panic around the zoo. So this, I feel like, is very relevant to today.
I was
going to
say,
today.
All the headline, like, just people that read headlines and then...
And share go, it.
And then tell people.
No, and share. And share, like, literally it. Just share yeah. on their stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that, it's... When I was reading that, I'm like, wow, the relevancy today. And also just people... Like, remember the lady on the plane that saw, like, the whatever? So there was a TikTok that I had seen a couple weeks later, and it was a guy that was on the plane, and he was, like, describing this, like, whole story, and he's like, I saw the guy, and, like, the way that he was, like, blinking is so weird, and it had millions and millions of views, and everybody was like, holy shit, this is the first person that came out since the flight, and then at the end of the video, he's like, and by the way, this entire story is fake. I was not on the plane, but, like, nobody got through the whole video to hear him say that the story is fake. And he's like, I just wanted to show you how easy it was to share a fake story and have it go viral. But, like, yeah, misinformation is very
rampant.
Did you ever have a teacher that gave a test and thought they were going to be clever and do, like, a comprehension check on everybody? And then, like, it's like maybe, like, you know, 15, 20 questions. And at the end of it, it's like the final thing is, like, erase all of your answers and only sign your name on this.
Yeah.
And then if you don't do that, it's like a pass fail.
Yeah.
No, my teachers never did that.
Multiple times.
I don't know if it ever happened to me or if I just know about it, but kind of fucked up.
No, my teachers didn't push me.
You're not in.
They didn't. No, my teachers weren't, like, trying to make me reach my potential or anything.
Oh, cool. No, that's great. It's working as intended. Perfect.
Yeah.
Yep. Ouch. Okay.
Wow.
Although I did have a teacher reach out to me on LinkedIn recently.
Really?
From middle school.
Like, that they're partying?
Yeah. That, like,
man or
you
woman?
Seem to be man.
Okay.
That you seem to be really doing well.
Okay.
Like, it was nice. It was not creepy. It was nice.
Cool.
But I was like, there you go.
That's awesome.
That's nice.
I had a amazing English teacher when I was in high school, and it's one of those teachers where you remember their class, and, like, he was very musical. Like, he loved a lot of, like, the bands that we were listening to.
Yeah.
And
you told me about him.
Him and his wife, like, check up on me, like, from time to time, and, like, send me messages and
really?
Stuff. Like, it's so cool about the band. It's, like, it's cool to have, like, a teacher that's invested. Like,
oh, that's well, so cool.
I'm still friends on Instagram with my favorite teacher, Mrs. Nesman. She was,
really?
Like, my Tuesdays with Maury teacher that, like, changed my life. But she was also an English teacher, like, my AP English teacher. It's, like, why I love writing. But anyways, she reached out to me recently, like, before a wedding, because she's a wedding photographer. She's like, can I please come photograph your wedding?
You're like, yes, but it's in France.
I know. I was like, and I think I told her, I was like, you can come photograph the courthouse, but, like, it didn't end up working out, but it is so sweet.
We love
you
a cool teacher.
You should, like, have her on a podcast. Like, that's so cool.
I know. She was literally the best. She's the best fucking teacher.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I was
loved
amazing.
Yeah. See, there are a couple good ones out there.
There are.
Oh, there certainly are.
Yeah.
Yeah. I loved her.
I was also
a
bad student.
Mm.
They all wrote, like, you have tons of potential if you would only dot, dot, dot.
Yeah. One of those.
I had ADD.
Yeah. Undiagnosed.
And untreated. A lot of traumatic things happening to me.
Yeah. So. Okay. Well.
Such is life, you know?
Yeah.
All right.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do? Just keep trucking along.
Yep. Keep trucking along. All right. 1967, Rolling Stone issued its first magazine.
What?
1967, the first issue of Rolling Stone was published in San Francisco, California. It featured a photo of guess who? Who do you think? 1967.
Beatles.
67?
Beatle?
Elvis.
Elvis.
A Beatle?
Wait, sorry. 67.
A Beatle.
Yeah, you're right. John Lennon.
John Lennon. I was going to say maybe Mick Jagger.
No. It featured a photo of John Lennon on the cover dressed in army fatigue while acting in his recent film, How I Won the War. The first issue also included a free roach clip to hold a marijuana joint.
Another kind of beetle.
Another kind of beetle. The name of the magazine was compiled from three significant sources. The Muddy Waters song, the first rock and roll record by Bob Dylan, and the Rolling Stones. I didn't know that.
Really?
Yeah.
I love this musical history.
The Muddy
Jacqueline.
Waters song. Is that what the is in the Rolling Stone?
No, it's just called Rolling Stone.
Oh. Oh, yeah, the Rolling Stones.
No, whatever. It's Muddy
Waters. Muddy Waters song is called Rolling Stone.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Oh, and like Rolling Stone, Bob Dylan. Okay. Anyway, sorry. Half facts.
Oopsies.
Okay, 1969. Using clues found in Beatles songs and album covers, a Detroit disc jockey and his radio audience determined that Paul McCartney died on November 9th of 1966 in a car accident.
This is a conspiracy theory.
This is the conspiracy theory. Paul is dead. We did a Killing Time about this years ago.
Right.
But basically, the rumor claimed that Paul McCartney, after an argument with his bandmates, sped off in his car, crashed, and was decapitated. The remaining Beatles then substituted him with an orphan that they found.
An orphan. Yeah. Casual orphan.
An orphan that was like in his mid-20s. But
there's no such thing as an orphan in your mid-20s. An orphan is a child only.
You're now an adult in
the
world.
You're an adult who doesn't have parents.
You're a former orphan.
No, that was like... the episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm when Funkhauser's parents died and he said he was an orphan.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you're not.
Adult
no,
orphan.
Larry's like, you're not a fucking orphan. It's you're 65 years old.
Former orphan.
That's amazing.
So anyways, they substituted him with an orphan and they trained him to impersonate Paul. Feeling guilty about their actions, they left clues in their songs and album covers.
God, this reminds me of like the Avril Lavigne conspiracy theory. Yeah. These are all so, I love them.
I know. We've done some episodes of the conspiracy theories, but I mean, I love any conspiracy theory.
I love
theory.
An updated conspiracy theory episode. I bet you there are some new ones.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
The human mind is a fantastic place.
It sure is.
People love to, they just come up with the craziest shit. I love it.
I know. We're trying to put order to chaos, right?
I think you can look at Paul McCartney nowadays, you just look at, he's an old guy, he looks good for his age.
Yeah,
like, he does. Money is awesome.
There he is.
But there he is. Like, that's, like,
or
that's
is he?
Him.
Or is he?
No, that's him.
I don't know.
No, it's either him or we live in a simulation.
Yeah, so, and they replaced him with an orphan.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
Wouldn't he tell?
Yeah. You'd be able. Well, the Andrew WK one is a little weird.
What's the Andrew WK one?
Because, like, apparently Andrew WK was replaced by a different Andrew WK in, like, the mid-2000s.
Oh. And
he just has, like, there's...
But he's married...
To
Kat Dennis.
Yeah, to Kat
Dennis. Yeah.
Yeah, but, no, but he seems real on her Instagram.
Well, no.
Andrew WK is hot.
Hot.
So,
they're the fucking cutest couple.
I used to be friends with him on Warped Tour back in the day. He had, like, a special, like, place in his heart for me. He was so nice to me.
All they do, she, like, cooks amazing meals in gardens, and he makes music, and they eat together, and I'm like, this is what I want.
I was at the, back when, before the Virgin Hotel was the Virgin Hotel in Vegas, it was the Hard Rock. I was, like, we were gambling, we were there, like, after, like, a Warped Tour or something. Out of nowhere, there's a circular stage. It's maybe 5 feet in diameter. It's tiny. Maybe about 3 feet tall. Turn around. Andrew WK is on the stage and he's DJing for the entire casino.
Oh, it's so fun.
And
love him.
There's no full access. We're right in his face and he's playing like Party Hard.
Yeah.
And we're just like sitting in front of him, like going crazy. And he was high-fiving everybody and it was just like amazing.
How fun.
But I kept thinking, like, is this the real you?
Wait, so there was a conspiracy that he was replaced.
Yes.
I don't buy it.
Was there any more to
There's
that?
Like some photos that look like it's a different guy, but it's just like probably a weird angle or lighting, but like maybe not. I don't know.
My favorite conspiracy theory was the Marilyn Manson one. That
Which
he like
one?
Got ribs removed so he could suck his own dick.
I thought that was real.
I don't think it's real. But it was the thing that I thought was so interesting about that rumor is it happened before the internet and like social media, but it was one of those rumors that like somehow circulated.
Everyone heard it.
The whole zeitgeist in America.
Oh, yeah. No.
But it was like a word of mouth thing, right? Like you heard it from like a friend who heard it from a friend, but like we all collectively
believed it. But it was when he was doing songs like The Dope Show and he was being like a scary mannequin.
Yeah.
And he was showing himself naked and he looked so emaciated. Like, so it was like, there's his missing ribs.
Well, it was believable, but I'm like, but where did it start and how did it spread? Like, that always blows my mind before the internet. Like, how did things become viral before the internet?
That'd be such a fun documentary to do.
How do we all know how to draw the S?
The Stussy S. I mean, it's not the Stussy S, but yeah, the S. Like, that's another thing that does not have an origin that just everybody knew. Same thing with, like, I don't know, like, certain jargon. Like, I always think about the was up, like, when you'd, like, write notes and you're, like, W-U-Z, like, with the up. I'm up like, carrot. Where did that
I thought
start?
That was from
that was like
screen.
AIM.
I thought that was...
The internet. That was, like, AIM.
No, yeah, that was before.
But then they did it on Scary Movie made it huge.
Well, no, Budweiser
did it.
But I'm just talking about like with like the
Budweiser.
Yeah, Budweiser did it. I don't know. I just love an origin story of just like weird things like that. I'm like, where did this come from?
I agree.
You know?
We could do a deep dive.
We may. There is no deep dive on the Stussy-S. I've tried to find it. Like, I just think they don't know.
I think it was probably like graffiti art. Honestly.
We'll figure it out.
Okay, and this last one is sad, but it is a fact that I didn't know. In 1976, on November 9th, Smokey the Bear died.
Smokey the Bear
was a real bearer.
That's horrible.
I know. American black bearer, national symbol for forest fire prevention. Smokey the Bear. The Forest Service had been using the cartoon version of Smokey Bear since 1944, when a bear cub was rescued from a New Mexico wildfire in 1950. He became the live embodiment of that cartoon. But he lived a long life, so...
How long did he live?
I mean... He was rescued in 1950, so 26 years.
That's pretty good.
I don't know how long bears.
I don't know bear
30
years
is not a bad run.
Yeah. So I mean, it's sad that he died, but everything dies. So
oh yeah.
The bigger you are, the faster it is.
Yeah.
And
how tall
bears
was he?
Are big.
Was he tall?
Was he over 6'6"? Okay, those are your days today. But the word of the day.
I'm tall for a girl. Am I going
to
die?
No, I don't think you're tall enough to have a low death day.
I'm not like part of the giant couple.
No, you're not 7'11", which is so tall.
You are tall. You know what's funny is I hadn't noticed how tall you are. And we were like looking at photos from France. And I was like, Lex is tall.
People DM me and ask me all the time how tall I am. I'm like, why?
Do you know how tall you are?
5'10".
You're 5'10"?
Yeah.
Well, the crazy thing is our whole friend group in LA is tall. I'm the shortest of our friend group and I'm 5'7".
Yeah. Like we don't have any shrimpy friends.
No.
All of our friends are pretty like.
No, there's a cutoff. I don't know if we should say this publicly, but we don't take any tiny tots. Yeah.
We also just don't take any new friends.
That's more the truth. If we found someone amazing to add to the group, fine, but it hasn't happened in quite a long time.
I won't add anybody new. I don't care how amazing
there's
you are.
There's no trust left to be had.
No.
I can't be vulnerable anymore.
I can't get to know somebody new.
It's too much effort. Like meet my mom.
I'm lucky to squeeze in right before the cutoff date.
Romantic partners are different.
But I've known you forever.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
No, but romantic partners are different. Because sometimes you gotta go,
but it's
kick
tough
some out.
Though.
Sometimes you gotta get a new one, know. You know.
But then it is the daunting thing about
dating.
Then they have to meet up dating,
I mean,
get to know them. Then they have to get to know your friends
and family.
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
I'm like, here's my bank account. Do you have retirement?
Are you in debt?
How much debt have you accrued?
Well, it's like those on Love Is Blind when they're like, she's like, we're going to have to talk about all this really uncomfortable shit. And it was really uncomfortable for them.
Stacey?
Yeah.
And what's his face?
Izzy? Such a...
I don't know how I feel about Stacey.
I don't know how I feel about anybody on this season.
Yeah.
It's not my season.
Let's let it play out and then we can maybe do a little recap for
love
people
that.
Who care.
Okay.
Onward.
Onward to the word of the day. Okay, so this is an Inuit word, and it is pronounced, I'm going to try my best, Iksowerpok. Iksowerpok. Iksowerpok.
Sounds correct.
Iksowerpok.
Iksowerpok. Translates to the feeling of anticipation. Okay, this is so good. It translates to the feeling of anticipation or even frustration when you're waiting for somebody to turn up. More specifically, it's the feeling of impatience where you might continually go to the window or even head outside to see if your tardy visitor has arrived yet.
I felt this.
How about this move?
What?
Someone's coming over, right? They're going to be there any minute. TV's not on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever do this where you're like...
Where are you going with this?
You're like, should I turn the TV on?
What?
Do you ever like do those last minute things?
Like, should
somebody...
I put on some music?
Should I be doing something? Somebody's coming to your house.
Like, what should it look like in here? Is it silent and I'm just sitting in a chair?
Do I stand by the door? Do I be walking around?
I always have the TV on when people come over.
I don't, but, well, yeah, but I don't normally just have it on, but if someone's coming over,
you don't?
Maybe I'll turn it on and like,
you need to light a candle and have a record playing.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like, those are thoughts that I have before
and, like,
someone comes over.
And, moves. Like, put a couple glasses of wine in your hand and start dancing. Yeah.
Mine is, like,
this is just what I was doing.
Yeah.
If I know the person's almost there, I definitely start walking around the apartment. And I'm like, I want to be up, like, and moving around as the doorbell rings.
I'm usually, like, not in the room. Like, I'm like, come in. I'm over here.
Oh, that's
doing
a good move. That's a really good move.
Like, God forbid they know that you're just waiting.
I would never give somebody
embarrassing.
If I lived in a suburban area like I used to, sometimes I would just like leave the door open and then I'd just be, then I wouldn't have to think
your
about
door
it.
Door or your security door?
Both.
Wow.
Yeah.
Vulnerable.
A friend is coming.
God, it must be nice to be a man.
I know.
Just leave a door unlocked. Someone would definitely have killed me.
Not
already.
Unlocked. Absolutely. Wide open.
What?
Just come on in.
Come on in, anybody.
Fuck around and find out.
That's so absolutely insane.
Such a man
such
thing. Men math.
It's so, I feel bad.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, I do feel a little bad.
Oops. All right. Well, when we come back, we've got some bitching to do.
Woo!
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
When I was growing up, I took French in high school, but I could never get the language to stick. I wanted to be fluent so bad, but it never happened. I just couldn't focus and I couldn't practice enough and it didn't work. But thankfully, there's Rosetta Stone, which is the most trusted language learning program, and it's available on desktop or it can be used as an app on your phone or tablet. Rosetta Stone is different. It immerses you in so many ways. And with its intuitive process, you can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, and then sentences. And before you know it, boom, conversations. Plus, with Rosetta Stone's true accent feature, you'll get feedback on how well you're pronouncing words. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the First Degree listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/first. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/first today. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for all of your springtime goals. If you don't have time, Factor's ready-to-eat meals are on the table in 2 minutes. So you just get to eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, cleaning up. You really just heat and savor the good stuff without all of the stress. You can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. Plus, you can pause and reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution to premium, fast meals without the need for cooking. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. I'm so busy, so it's amazing to just have Factor meals in the fridge for whenever I realize that I'm starving and I don't have any time to cook anything. They're amazing, they're healthy, and they keep you fueled all day long. Head to factormeals.com/degree50 and use code degree50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month. That's degree50 at factormeals.com/degree50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Hey, there's no reason to feel sad or guilty about the things you aren't using anymore. Whether it was a fancy dress you wore to a gala, expensive heels that only go with one of your outfits, or that crossbody bag from when you were in your music festival era. Somebody out there wants what you don't, and the real world makes it easy to get it to them. When your past becomes their future, everyone wins, especially the planet. For the real real, Earth Month isn't just another month. It's what they do every day. At any given moment, they're finding new homes for over 1 million unique items within their community of 35 plus million people. They're the largest luxury reseller in the world and making a tangible difference towards a more sustainable future for fashion. Resale reduces the amount of fashion waste in landfills, lowers greenhouse gas emissions, and offers an alternative to the cycle of consumption propagated by fast fashion. The RealReal has kept over 37 million items in circulation and out of landfills. This month only, new shoppers get 20% off when they shop on therealreal.com using code FIRST. That's therealreal.com using the code FIRST.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead? Guilty or not guilty?
All right, welcome to On the Stand. Every week we bring a person, place, thing, or an idea to the stand. We love it, we hate it, we talk about it, we vote on it, we bring it to you to vote on Instagram. Sometimes we have a listener on the stand. Do we have a number to call in if you'd like to call yours
in? We do have a number. Do we have a listener today?
We do.
Okay, the phone number is 818-446-6889.
818-446-6889.
Yeehaw, baby. Woo! Do we want to start with that one?
Sure.
Hi, friends. I'm calling with my On the Stand. So if you're like me, you're constantly being blasted on social media or from people that you know about all these like clean products. So, you know, aluminum-free deodorant and organic body wash and shampoo, et cetera. So what I'm putting on the stand is people who use all of that stuff, which is fine if you do, but people who use all of those products, tell you about them, how they're clean and all this stuff, and then they go and get Botox blasted in their face and some lip fillers, and then maybe I'll see them on a Friday night like smoking cigs and slamming beers. Like, don't preach the cleanness when you're not really clean. That's what I got. Bye.
Gosh, this is an exciting one.
Damn.
So, I've seen a bunch of people on social media be like, your green juice and your vegan, you know, burrito isn't going to undo everything I saw you doing at the club last night. Like, yeah, I think you're right. I think everyone, there's a lot of hypocrisy with clean lifestyle type stuff.
Well, and I think that what we're realizing is a lot of the things that we think are clean and environmentally friendly are actually not.
Right.
Like, it reminds me of like the whole plastic eco-friendly straw thing that we're now finding out has like forever chemicals in them. So it's like, I think the problem is anybody preaching anything.
Yeah. That,
I
mean, that's everyone alone.
Period. Period. Because when you start preaching something, now you're putting yourself in the line of fire, and now people are going to poke holes at everything that you're doing in life, because there's literally no way to be perfectly clean or perfectly whatever.
Unless you're so disordered, even then you'll never succeed, because the poisons are just shot into everything we do. Well, try to have a bottle like Evian water or Fiji water. I'm sorry, there's microplastics in the water. Like, there's no way around it.
It's also coming out with like the Brita filters that there's actually like it doesn't filter any, like everything that you think is you're doing the right thing is now turning out you're not doing the right thing.
Flushable wipes aren't even really flushable, it turns out.
Wow.
But going back to the
anything is flushable.
Going back to the preaching.
You try hard enough.
Yeah, anything is flushable.
You make it in small enough
if you
pieces,
believe,
you can achieve.
You gotta hit it with a poop knife.
Oh, wow. Poop knife's a whole different thing.
What the fuck is that?
It's a whole different thing.
It's a whole Reddit thing. Please. Google it if you want.
Nope.
No, Alexis doesn't want to talk about it. No, but back to the preaching, whatever. It's not the problem of being clean. It's the self-righteousness that comes along with outwardly putting your shit onto other people.
Yeah,
like
100%.
That is 100% the problem.
Yeah.
And people are not down for it.
Yeah.
And it's annoying. And they're going to start poking holes in your shit.
Also, like, people want to have the best products. Not everyone can afford them. People are doing their fucking best.
Well,
like,
yeah.
And that's another thing. It's like, don't fucking project your shit onto other people. Everyone's doing their best. Well,
there's a certain obsession that comes with, the way that things are progressing right now, especially with the internet and like people seeing everybody, like everything's about improvement. And like, we want to feel like we're getting better and better at things, but like, So everyone's so quick to be like, this is the thing that's like, this is the good thing now that everyone is all in on, and this is why. And like, the science behind it doesn't always exist. And a lot of times it's early, and a lot of people love being early on things for some reason and being like, oh, I got this new product that's like, this is why it's so great.
Before it sells out, yeah.
I've toured with a lot of like cigarette vegans, is what we used to call them, is like the same thing that she's talking about. It's like your health, you like doing something
you're
healthy
vegan
in one way, but. That's not fair, because for some of it, it's just animal cruelty and whatnot.
Yeah.
People trying to be like good
no,
people.
No, but the
like,
idea of, I know
but,
what you're
but the
saying.
Idea is like, you are, yeah, you're
well, you're self-righteous in this one way, and then you're not sinning is not the wrong
but you're
right
cool
word,
with secondhand smoke for children.
Yeah.
You're,
yeah.
Cool, with, you're
yeah.
cool with other humans yeah.
the
sucking in
the,
your smoke.
The yeah. sentiment is, we are all trying to do the best that we can.
Yeah.
And nobody knows.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I know for me, if I don't put on deodorant that has aluminum in it, I'm going to smell. And yeah, unfortunately,
weigh all the outcomes, you know,
I go for the stuff that is just really scented and it makes me feel better. And I'm alive so far.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, it's like,
you'd be getting aluminum in other ways anyway.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like you can't escape. Unfortunately, you can't escape it.
Go
anymore.
In a chlorinated pool. Your yeah. whole epidermis is absorbing chlorine. Like yeah. there's no way to like live a normal life if yeah. you avoid, like there's no, the chemicals well, are in everything.
No. And going back, it's just like different generations just as a whole are suffering for different things.
Yeah.
Like where, you know, our parents were.
Camp Lejeune.
What?
Camp Lejeune.
What's Camp Lejeune?
She's about to explain it because I don't know.
Oh,
well, I'm pretty sure everyone who was at Camp Lejeune was poisoned by chemicals. And that's why you get those
back in the day.
Yeah. Commercials. Yeah. Like that's our parents' generation.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, were you exposed at Camp Lejeune yeah. to X chemicals or whatever? Yeah. And like every generation has
or
one
asbestos.
Of those.
Asbestos.
Yes.
But that's the thing. Our generation is the forever chemicals that are in everything. So it's like there's no way to avoid everything. We're exposed to it as a generation because that's now the decisions that these big corporations have made.
You are a microplastic.
Again.
This is
Again.
We are microplastics. It Again. Exists. They literally are in our bloodstream.
Yeah.
And you can't get away from it.
Nope.
Unfortunately. You, no matter how many organic products you eat.
Are you having fun? Like, is your life fun? Are you doing things that are fulfilling you?
We're
like,
all gonna die.
What does it matter at the end
Some
of the day?
Some sooner than others, depending on your height.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're over 6'6", like, see ya.
Except but Rita's like, brother.
Yeah.
This doesn't apply to.
He's gonna live forever.
But are you having fun? Is your life, like, are you doing no. things that make you happy? Like, end of, like, full stop. Like, that's it.
Well, and that goes back to, like, when I was the most, like, obsessive about clean eating and about exercising and about doing all these things, I was the most miserable.
Yeah.
So it's like, and I know that that is a through line for a lot of people that are trying to be super regimented with like the things that they're doing, that they're eating, the way that they're living their lifestyle. Like it comes to a point where it now takes over your life in this obsessive way and it stops you from enjoying your life as it's going. And yeah. then now you're wasting, especially when you're around our generation, like such great years of your life because of this weird, and it's a thing with social media that it's projecting on us of like, whatever, I don't know. It's
life's
it's,
short.
Life's short.
There's a lot of risks, but you can go out and get hit by a bus. So just like use the deodorant that makes you not smell.
Yeah. So then you can keep your friends.
Eat the McNugget if it beckons to you.
Eat yeah. the McNugget. It's a good shirt.
Eat the nugget.
Eat the nugget.
All right. Well, I'm going to say, I forget where we started.
She said, on the stand was prosecuting people who were doing all this, then smoking the cig. So guilty.
Guilty.
Guilty, but also, is it making them happy? If so, not guilty.
Yeah.
No, if it's making them happy to preach, stop
no,
the preaching.
Self-righteousness. Self-righteous guilty. Preaching.
Oh, that's guilty.
Guilty.
That's guilty.
Guilty.
Sorry, that's guilty.
All right. That felt good.
I'm just going to jump on this train because I started listening to the new season of The Dream. Have you ever listened to that podcast?
No.
Have you?
Oh, but I'm no. aware. I'm familiar.
So it's basically about the first season was about pyramid schemes
yeah, yeah.
in general. I think it might be the third season, but this season is about life coaches.
Wow.
And the it's kind of like the MLM to life coach pipeline uh-huh. sort of a thing. On top of the conversation that we're having, I'm just going to put on the stand like this idea of having to be the best version of yourself.
Mm.
Because we kind of talked about it a little bit, but Jared was saying, you know, you're constantly being bombarded, especially trying to get a life coach is like such an interesting idea.
Yeah.
Because it's like you're trying to have somebody influence you to make the best decisions in life, yet they don't know what you're going through. And like it's, they're now using, it's the same kind of MLM thing where it's like predetermined like scripts and all this kind of stuff to try to coach you.
But also who could possibly be qualified to like to counsel someone on, you know, like maybe a 90-year-old woman, her wisdom I might listen to.
Yeah.
But like someone my age, I'm like, bro, this is the blind leading the blind. You can't possibly know more than me.
Well, the thing about life coaches is there's no like, you don't have to get like a certification for it
you
or anything.
You can't get a certification, but it's
like,
not
who
like a official.
Came up with that.
Right. And it's not like a scholastic, like it's not like a what recognized.
I think it's dangerous know? Territory.
I agree.
And the reason is because when you're going
it's culty.
Off,
it's, well,
this
it's,
is, this
it's
is exactly
an, it's
it.
A, it's literally, you're, it is a pyramid scheme.
You're talking about MLM. You're talking about cults. It's like you're in a, you are automatically in a position of power when someone's coming to you at a disadvantage like that.
Yeah.
And again, like qualification aside, that dynamic is already like very easily manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
well, yeah, you're catching somebody, yeah, when they're at their most vulnerable state, because you're not going to get a life coach when you're killing it.
Yeah. But, and this goes with the whole culture of self-improvement and all that stuff, is like, you're going to buy a book because this person became rich, so you're trying to follow those footsteps. And it's
well,
the idea that you can fall into that, that's the whole business model in itself, is like, there's so many people that are like, I want that, I want that.
Well, it's why Tony Robbins is right. Who he is, you know?
But it's tricky. Also going back to the pyramid scheminess of it is kind of like the get rich quick kind of thing, where it's like, this is going to be, I'm going to hire a life coach and my life is going to change. Yeah. Like doing this one thing, like, because that's how they're kind of promoted. It's like, once you hire me to like coach throughout the life, like everything's going to change. Or it's, that's not how life works at all. And then after listening to this podcast too, like a lot of life coaches end up coaching other people trying to be life coaches. Like that's where the pyramid part of it kind of starts to come into play. But I think like from afar, when you don't know anything about it, it seems like a good idea. But like when you really look into like the nitty gritty of it, it's like a little bit schemey.
Yeah.
When you think about it.
Yeah.
Totally.
And it's like at the end of the day, like we don't need to be the best versions of ourselves. Like, can't we just be okay? Like, we're all trying to fucking survive and like do the best that we can. Like, we don't have to be the best at everything and be 100% at every single thing that we do, because it's going to burn ourselves out and it's not realistic in any sense of the word.
No, absolutely. And what I'll say, my mom did give me some really good advice when I was young that I never forgot about. And what she said was, you know, Alexis, like being happy is such fucking hard work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's not a state of mind. It's like you have to work hard and you have to like invest in relationships and you have to take care of yourself physically and you have to like not consume harmful shit on the internet that's going to poison your mind. Like, it's so hard to like have a life that you're happy with, you know? And I think it goes hand in hand with this idea of like being the best version of yourself. I mean, I've been waking up the last couple of days like super depressed feeling, like for no reason other than it's like, yeah, the reality of life and the difficulties like sort of seep in. And it's like, you don't have to be happy all the time. And when you are happy, it's fucking hard to achieve that.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Well, and that's the Instagram versus reality part of it, where it's like you're looking at all these other people, and especially it depends on the media that you consume too. So if your feed is full of all these people that are, you know, aspirational and, you know, doing
pretending
the
things
cleanses
are amazing.
And
I
the,
think it all come. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's like whatever you're looking at, and it makes you feel bad about yourself because you're like, why not? Why can't I do that?
Yeah.
But it's like, this is a facade of bullshit.
But
like,
it all comes down to it comes down to comparison.
Yeah,
you're because it's
well,
so
comparison
easy.
Comparison is the
it's so
of
easy.
Thief of joy. Yes,
it's so easy though, because it's so easy to open up literally anything that you own and see how someone else is doing.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. And like, if that all that went away and you just like woke up and maybe had a lazy day, then you just had a lazy day.
Yeah.
Was it okay? Like, did you have a good day?
Well, it's yeah. That's and then it. You're looking at other people being productive or doing this or working on that. It's very easy to get down on yourself just by comparison alone.
No, and I think a lot of people lose themselves to that because you're so caught up in what everybody else is doing or what they're saying, whether it's about you or about somebody else. Like, there's so much noise. Whereas, like, if you just wake up and maybe have a good breakfast and then, like,
totally was that easy.
I laid in the sun and scrolled on TikTok for like 5 hours and it was the best day of my life. And I was literally like, I almost had to be like, well, I did this and this. It's like, no, I literally did that and it was fucking amazing.
And it probably like rejuvenated you in a way that you cannot get from like exercising
productive.
No,
it was incredible.
Yeah.
This is actually an amazing on the stand, because I honestly, I don't think we've had one that sparked such like a rousing discussion in a while.
No, I totally agree.
Obviously guilty.
Guilty, dude.
Do you have one on the stand?
I think I'm sort of like
maxed out.
No, I just think now we're on this like amazing note, and I don't have one.
No,
in
it
this.
Doesn't. Yeah.
I kind of want to stay here.
I kind of want you to talk about the thing that you...
I want everyone to feel encouraged, though, to be like, you don't have to fucking be your best self.
Yeah.
Fuck what you're seeing on the internet. Like,
we're going off the rails. We're taking a new formula.
I don't know. Kind
of. I'll jump on top of that, too, because what you were saying, too, about like just comparing yourself, whatever. I even felt like myself doing that after our wedding.
Yeah.
Like I had to mute like all wedding, because obviously my algorithm is all wedding. Right.
Yeah, of course.
So like after our wedding, like I had to start muting everything because I'd see other people's wedding. I'm like, fuck, I wish I did that. Or like, oh, that looks so amazing. I'm like, ugh. Like, and like getting down on myself about different things to where I'm sure people are looking at my content being like, ugh, like, look at this. Like, that looks so perfect. And like, oh, she's so annoying about posting this all the time. And yes. Like, whatever.
Yes.
But like, it goes both ways. And even like when you're watching the thing that you think is perfect and you wish it was yours, that person is also watching something else, wishing that was theirs
and
too.
And it's like a it's very circular and it'll never end unless like mute the accounts. That's a good call. Like, you know, cause you have to be okay with what happened because we can't change it. And it was amazing. Oh, you know,
it's so crazy. Cause like, it really is all about going and looking at these things, which we do all the time. That's all it is. Like,
that's where social media is.
You know, it's like having to mute an account. Well, yeah, you have to mute an account because we're all on this thing that's making us all compare and do this day in.
Well,
and
the
day
grass
out.
Isn't always greener. No. You know, I'm telling you,
the grass is just not greener.
It rarely is.
Like, it's not, you know? So, dude. I loved that. Was great on the stand that sparked yours, you know? Yeah. Because I just think we all need to be more present. And happiness is a lot of work. It doesn't come easier to some people than others. Like, people are projecting facades of happiness that are not there. And we should all just be fucking grateful and wake up and feel good about where we're at. Even if you feel depressed, you won't feel as bad the next day.
Well, I was watching this TikTok that was actually described this thing about me that I was like, I've never seen something that's more like for you in my life.
I was
going
to bring this up. Because I feel like it's in line with what we're talking about.
No, it is. So this girl she was talking about this book that she read. It's about anxiety. And she was like, do you suffer from perfect moment syndrome? And she goes on to describe this thing. And it's so me. And it's basically the idea of putting such high expectations on yourself for something like a moment in life. And they're so high that you're always going to be disappointed or they're always going to fall short of what you're envisioning in your life. And it's all rooted in like this sense of like anxiety. And I'm like, that's exactly what I had for our wedding. Like, and a lot of things in life, like, but I love planning trips and I love creating moments, but like the idea of it is always better than what it's going to be. Because like the idea of it is like this fantastical moment.
Planning's anticipatory also, where it's like, this is coming. The moment itself is so fleeting.
Right.
You know, and you get to spend months on fantasizing.
Yeah.
Versus the moment is just
so fast.
Yeah.
Well, and especially when it comes to a wedding, it's like you spend a year planning it. And then the moment is so fleeting that like us with our wedding, I'm like, the way I describe it is just feeling so fucking rushed.
Yeah.
Right. So you can't even like fully sit in it, but like that perfect moment syndrome is, and there's so many people that were like, this is why I don't go on trips because like the actual trip will never exceed
the way that
I like think it would be in my own mind, but it's like an anxiety thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But where does that come from?
That comes from perfectionism. It's a perfectionism thing.
Well, yes, but there's a comparison happening there as well.
For sure. Cause you're seeing other people's posts on Instagram being like, this is how this person's post in like Thailand on this swing is, and then you go there and it's like a disgusting like mess.
Oh,
of people.
Yeah. It's like seeing a nightclub at night and then during the day.
Exactly.
The it's fucking vile.
But dude, like, who fucking cares? Like, I told you guys, there's that really funny video of those that it's like a super trashy wedding and they walk down the aisle of the Buck Cherry.
Yeah.
Those people were going nuts. They were having the time of their lives in between their two trailers in this trailer park, listening to Buck Cherry coming down the aisle getting married. It's like, it's all relative. And the comparison is what is destroying things for people. And like it
well,
really,
I think it's trying to create a moment that already existed, but the way that it existed isn't real.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Like, the real moment is what happens after you have an experience. That's your real moment.
Yeah.
It's not the real moment in relation to someone else's moment that they had, which probably isn't even real if you saw it on the internet.
No.
There's,
I know.
They're two totally different things.
Yeah.
You know?
But social media has fucked us up in that way because I don't think that people probably had. I mean, if anybody listening out there resonates with that, like, I think that that is the thing that's really driven by social media.
Oh, totally.
Like, I don't think people in the 70s were having perfect moment syndrome in the same way.
No.
Totally. I mean, I'm guilty of it. I see a band that like appear or like a band that I know and it looks like they're playing to like an unlimited amount of people. And you're like, damn, I really want to play to a crowd that big. Like, whatever. Like,
I'm sure
it's always in your
face.
Some
degree in the 70s, just not the way it is now.
No, not the way.
There was no Pinterest wedding. You know, it's like, that didn't happen. It was like, shit got thrown together and that's what you got.
Yeah, it was a lot, life was a lot simpler.
And people weren't sharing their wedding pictures to, you know, it just was like, it got framed and put in your fucking living room and that's what it was.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not exclusive to the internet in our generation. Someone, I saw a Facebook comment, I don't know if you guys saw it on the First Degree Facebook, but someone was talking about comparison and like, especially for women and upholding an image.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah,
how it's existed since since magazine, like publications.
Well,
like,
obvious. No, women obviously throughout history.
Well, women are victims.
Yes, always.
Okay. Well, I'm not
every single one.
Yeah. Hold on, I'm not trying to open up another can.
Well,
right now.
No, that's a different can of worms.
We'll do that one on the end of the next Killing Time. But
yeah, I'm just saying, like, I feel like it's definitely accelerated though.
Yeah.
Like for us.
No, the internet is the devil.
And it's all comparison. Again, all the way back. It's all comparison.
But we're all killing it in our own ways.
We are. Oh, wow. God, I love this discussion, guys.
Hijacked the rest of the episode, but I'm okay with that.
Damn.
No, I'm okay with it, too.
Welcome to our...
truth.
I feel like I just did a little bit of therapy.
I know. I feel a little bit more alive.
I know. I love it. I hope
that
you guys do, too.
Came out of nowhere. That was awesome.
I know. Maybe, like, send us in your not even on the stand.
Philosophical topics.
Yeah. Send us in some philosophical topics. This was nice.
It was nice. I kind of feel, like, lighter.
Me, too.
I have nothing left.
All right.
We love
well,
you guys.
We love you. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Dunkin' Cold Coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' Cold K-Cup Pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.